Tonight, Recovery Coast to Coast heads to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where we visit with Congressman Patrick Kennedy from my home state of Rhode Island. Congressman, good evening and welcome to Recovery Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be on with you.
First of all, listeners certainly want to know how you are doing in your early recovery.
Thank you for asking. Well, it's only a day at a time, but taking it one day at a time. But the days have been adding up, and I'm feeling good.
There are a couple of things I would like to ask you about regarding your recovery and recovery in general. One of them has to do with the stigma. The other has to do with anonymity.
As an alcoholic and an addict, and I'm familiar with the shame and stigma myself because I've suffered it and I know what it is, and I can't say that I haven't succumbed to that myself in my own life. So I'm not holding myself above anyone else, but we are our own worst enemy. And I have to tell you, one of our biggest impediments is this anonymous part of our recovery, because it leads people to think that they're supposed to not be citizens in the form of advocating publicly. Just because they're part of an anonymous program doesn't mean that they don't have a responsibility to publicly advocate for legislation, it doesn't mean that they can't be politically active as on the issue. I mean, I think that people mistake the 11th tradition in the recovery program, the 12-step recovery programs. They mistake that 11th tradition to mean that they're not supposed to speak out on the injustice of policy, as members of a democracy in which they're being discriminated against. And I really think that's really undermining our ability to overcome discrimination.
People often confuse the whole concept of anonymity, which is a spiritual concept, with secrecy and hiding behind the 12 steps. And I often, on this radio show, remind people that Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of AA, served on the board of directors of the National Council on Alcoholism, not as the founder of AA, not as a member of AA, but as a citizen fighting a public health crisis.
And, Neil, Bill Wilson testified in front of the United States Congress.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So people don't realize it. Bill Wilson told the story of Alcoholics Anonymous and testified in Congress. And so that's all part of public testimony. People, I mean, often write to me that, oh, Patrick, you know, and I never talk about, you know, the recovery program I belong to, but I still get letters. People say, oh, you're violating 11th tradition. But I mean, the fact is, you know, if we don't get out and start talking, all people know about alcoholics are drunk alcoholics. People need to know more about sober alcoholics.
How important is it, Congressman, for someone in recovery to do that?
People in recovery need to be more public, or else the perceptions the general public will have are only of people who are failing. I think we need to do a better job. Faces and Voices of Recovery is a group that I encourage people to join. They're a great advocacy group. It's called Faces and Voices of Recovery, and they are a recovery group that's an advocacy group on behalf of.
And a great one. We've had Pat Taylor and Tom Cordero on the show many times, and we certainly encourage people and direct people to get involved with them on a number of advocacy issues. Recovery Coast to Coast, I'm Neil Scott. Congressman Kennedy joining us tonight. What specifically, Congressman, can people in recovery do to make their voices heard on this issue? Who can they call? What can they do? And if people send emails, if they write to their representatives and their congressmen and their senators, does that make a difference?
Absolutely. You know, the civil rights movement was a spiritual movement. It was about people back in the 60s, African Americans who said that they weren't going to be treated this way any longer. And it was a spiritual movement where it wasn't simply changing the laws, but it was a changing of their attitudes. And you know, I think that it was about liberating, it was about liberation of self as much as liberation of law. And this is a spiritual movement where we as individuals have to liberate ourselves from the stigma that we impose upon ourselves, as that society places upon us, that we succumb to. We take it upon ourselves to wear the yoke of you know, moral judgment of others, that we are somehow to be blamed for this moral failing that society says that we are to blame for our addiction and illness. And you know, we have to do something about this. And I think that part of it is going to be personal, part of it's political, but in both cases, it's important that we do it. And my uncle Robert Kennedy spoke about it this in the civil rights movement. You know, he said each time a person stands up or acts to improve the lot of others, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope, and coming together from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples can knock down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. And, you know, what he was saying is it doesn't take, you know, one person to knock down the walls of resistance. It takes each of us to do our part. And then if all of us do something, then together we can do it together. And I think that's the spirit we have to do it in, is if everybody does their part. We can't worry about whether our neighbor, you know, steps forward. All we have to worry about is whether we do it in our own lives. And in fact, for those of us who are in recovery, we know that, because that's part of our spiritual movement in recovery, is to be responsible for our own work and our every day, to do our part in our own lives to make a difference. And I think it's consistent with that we tell other people that we are consumers, that we are we're in recovery, on the road to recovery. So we destigmatize it to other people and allow them to speak openly. And I think that we write our members of Congress, we write our local state legislators, and you know, we join a group, like I said, Faces and Voices of Recovery, you know, where we participate politically, because, you know, democracy only works. It's a participatory game. It's not a spectator sport. It only works if people participate. And let me just conclude by saying, you know, Dr. King's speech, I mean, the whole notion of discrimination, it applies. I mean, sure. It's an invisible discrimination, because you can't see the disability, because it's in the brain, it's hidden. But there is a physical change that people have, and they're being held, they're being discriminated against because of their, you know, their disease. That's not right, and that's not American. And this is a civil rights movement for equal protection and civil rights. This is the last real strong vestige of bigotry and prejudice that remains in this country. I mean, there's still great, you know, vestiges of discrimination in race and so many in religion and of course and sexism and so forth. But this is still. This issue of mental illness and bigotry against those with mental illness and the stigma that remains is so powerful. We have a lot to do to erase it, and it will only happen when people start standing up in their own lives and speaking out against it.
Has your early recovery helped you to become a better advocate, and if so, how?
Well, what has helped me so much is I was forced to be public because of my public office. And initially, it wasn't comfortable, clearly. But it actually has become a blessing for me, because everywhere I go, because I'm so public, because I was forced to be so public, people come up to me and tell me how, in their private way, how they're in recovery. And now that gives me a lot of comfort, because everywhere I go, people tell me they're in recovery. And I wish that other people who weren't so public, they don't get the benefit that I do, because no one knows they're in recovery. So when they go into a room, unlike me, they don't know how many other people in the room are in recovery. Whereas where I walk in the room, I have alcoholic and addict tattooed to my forehead, because Patrick Kennedy, everybody knows, you know, that I am I've been in treatment, and I've had my face plastered on the front page of the papers. So any recovering person in the room comes right up to me, and I have the benefit of that now. You know, I used to think that would have been a liability. Now it's actually a big asset to me. So I count myself very lucky and very grateful for my recovery, and for being public, for it being public, because it gives me more support, really, in my life. Because I run into people in recovery every moment of every day. I'm everywhere I am, I'm around people in recovery. Because, quite frankly, you know, we're all over the place. We're all over the place.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Neil, great to be with you. Thanks for your show.